5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The General Banter Podcast with Colin Geddes.
Right about now, baby. I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather of soul.
Colin Geddes.
It's Geddes, actually.
Geddes.
Geddes.
Geddes. Geddes. Geddes.
Fuck you. What's happening, people? Welcome to the General Banter Podcast with me, Colin Geddes, on today that is the 22nd. Tuesday the 22nd of September. Where does the time go? I don't even know. It was fucking March a while ago. And all of a sudden it's now fucking September. What's going on? Do we plug gigs straight away? I don't know. We'll maybe leave it a minute. Nah, we'll plug them, get them out of the way. I've mentioned them for about 6 weeks in a row now, so here we go. Lavery's Comedy Club, which is in fact tomorrow, the kickoff of the Belfast Comedy Festival, which I'll tell you what that is. That is someone who decided they wanted to run a festival, and they were like, we want to run a festival, but we don't want to book anybody. So what we'll do is we will look at the people who are already playing in Belfast in that period of time. We'll look around to see what comedy nights are taking place in Belfast, and we'll put it in the brochure. So I'm not slagging them, you know, it's good that Belfast have something organised by something. But essentially all they've done is they've approached me and said, do you want Lavery's to be in the fucking Belfast Comedy Festival? Yeah, sure. The Empire's in it, the Queen's is in it. But anyway, so what I'm telling you is Lavery's Comedy Club kicks off the Belfast Comedy Festival tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, though, we do have a fucking exceptional lineup. Not only am I there, eh? Geddes, the General Banter guy. That's your man, that's a fucking fit. That's him, isn't it? Aye. Me, Connor Keyes, resident MC of Daly's Comedy Club, OMA, the world-famous Daly's Comedy Club. He's going to be warming up. He's going to be doing like 20, 25 minutes. He's hilarious. We're both large men. It's going to be hilarious as we exchange the microphone. I'm like, please welcome to the stage, Connor Keyes. And then we awkwardly brush titties. And then he goes on stage and makes some joke about how fat we both are. Then there's going to be a break. And then we've got Chris Kent, who, if you haven't heard of him before, you really fucking should be ashamed of yourself. He's one of the funniest. There's a lot of people who do comedy in Ireland would tell you he's the funniest guy. He is just a bit of a fucking wizard. He's from Cork. He's hilarious. He now lives in London. So he's gigging in London, killing it. And he's flying over. He's being flown over to do this gig. He's done Lavery's before. He's always been brilliant. But he hasn't been there in a while, and he's been like living in England. He's done the Edinburgh Fringe, fucking sellout shows. And then he was on fucking Comedy Central, Stand Up Central, all that sort of shit. So you don't want to miss it, guys, especially for £6, considering he's headlined various other places in Belfast for much more money than £6, you know, guys? You know what I'm saying? So get yourselves along to that. I would much appreciate it, all you fucking students. get in there at 9 o'clock, watch a show for 2 hours, go fucking get blitzed. Do you want to go to Thompson's? I've been learning how to shuffle all week. Let's go to Thompson's. I've been shuffling like a bastard over here. Every day I'm shuffling. I've been shuffling and just practicing twerking by myself. It's been a lot of fun. It might be a bit echoey in here this week because we'll be moving a few things out of this room, so it's probably a bit more echoey. I will get it sorted at some stage, guys. Every time I sit down and do a podcast, I'm like, well, I may as well just go ahead and do it. I'm not going to start rebuilding the fucking room right now, am I? So anyway, 23rd, tomorrow, Lavery's Comedy Club. 26th, which is Saturday. If you can't make a midweek gig, you can go to the Book Reserve on the Lisburn Road and buy a ticket for 12 quid, which gets you into their coffee shop on Saturday night, where they have a bring your own booze, bring your own liquor type thing, where they, like say you brought vodka, they'll mix you up your cocktails. Sounds cheaper at the start, you know, or dear, like, oh my God, tickets are 12 quid. Yeah, but you get to drink your own carry out and see a comedy night. Who's on? Me, fucking Aaron McCann, Shane Todd's MCing, and fucking Kieran Bartlett. How about that for good crack? And we're going to have a right laugh, bring your own booze, get shit-faced. And then another announcement secured this week. If you're in the Oma area, the big lad is going to be doing a spot at Daly's Comedy Club in Oma on the 2nd of fucking October. Let me tell you the lineup here, all right? Marcus O'Lear, is that his name? O'Lear? I don't know how to say it in Irish, but anyway. He is, he's going to be there. He's very funny. Anyone who done the colour run in Belfast will realise that he was the guy doing the MCing. At that, funny guy, never met him. Might run into him. Consider him at the same gig. Me? Did I already say me? Who gives a shit? Fucking Cookie O'Donnell. Cormac O'Donnell. From Cookstown there. And Owen Colgan. And if you don't know that name, you will also know him as Buzz from Hardy Bucks. He's going to be doing a spot. And you know what? Good luck to them. Good luck to them all. Trying to go before or after this motherfucker. Because I'm angry, let me tell you. I'm angry. So just watch out. Because I'm going to come in there like a fucking... best description I ever heard. I was watching... I don't know why, because I was watching the rugby there at the weekend. Have you been watching the rugby, guys? Rugby! Some amazing scenes of the rugby. I was watching rugby and I was watching an Ireland match and we somehow got talking about Stephen Ferris. And I was like, do you know what? Yeah, Conn's my favourite player ever, maybe. Just a fucking beast. And he could be from anywhere else. But there's just something funny about them going, oh, I think he's from Portadown and he's a fucking savage. Had to retire early because of injury, which is scary considering... even the best in the business can't fix fucking top athletes. But anyway, I watched the clip. If you watch this clip, right? Type in Stephen Ferris returns to Ravenhill. And there's a clip where he's been off for about 15 months. I think it was right before he retired. Off for 15 months or something like that. And they have a line out. The ball goes back. The out half fucking kicks it up in the air. He chases it, right? And it's just this perfectly... first of all, they're going mad before he comes on. Everyone's like, there's only one Stephen Ferris. And I was here. Walks on. Crowd goes wild. They boot the ball up in the air. And everyone's like, oh, everyone's just missed how much of a fucking wrecking ball this cunt is. Kick the ball up in the air. He chases it. He's faster than everybody, even though he's about fucking 20 stone. He's probably not. He's probably about 17 or 18. But he just fucking sprints past everyone, waits patiently. The ball comes down, dumb, their fullback catches it, and he just fucking, he hits him like a steam train. But the thing with Stephen Ferris is, it's like, he didn't just like go for the, you know, the more impressive looking spear tackle. He just runs, smashes into the guy, collects him like a fucking, you see, you know, you can, when anyone stands still, it's easy to spear them in half. What he did was just, I'm just going to hit this cunt, pick him up like a fucking drunk toddler and just fucking sprint for about another 30 metres before smashing them onto the floor. And the crowd just like, yeah! But my point is, whoever was commentating described him as, he goes, the Leviathan on speed that is Stephen Ferris. And that's what I'm going to be like at Daly's Comedy Club. A Leviathan on speed. What is a Leviathan? I don't know how to Google it. Turns out it's some sort of fucking Hebrew sea monster. But anyway, history lesson out of the way for Geddes, right? So let's move on. Did you watch this? All seriousness, did you watch rugby? I mean, I played rugby for fucking 10 years of my life. And, you know, only enjoyed the physical violence of it. Never really enjoyed the banter. Some of the gayest things I've ever seen happened between, you know, so-called straight rugby players. Come on, mate, take all fucking drink this pint up your ass while we all watch and cheer. Like a bit of Magnolia. Ass to ass. Is it Magnolia? I'm not sure. So, what the fuck was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Did you? Right, you know what I'm going to say. Obviously, Ireland shit all over the Canadians. Which is good to see. Sometimes, because what happened was they were like 29-0 up at halftime. And you thought, is it just going to be 29-0 here? Because they didn't score that quick after the second half. But then they picked it up again and kept scoring late into the match. Good stuff, guys. Good stuff. Then the other match come on, fucking South Africa-Japan. And I was literally like, yeah, this is just the formality. They're just going to fucking shit all over them and, well, we can all move on with our day. Obviously, the Japs had other plans because it was a very tight match and then they end up fucking winning at the end. I near lost my mind. I was sweating. Someone bought pizza, you know? I was so excited I could barely eat the 9 bits of pizza that I ate. It's good crack. But that's sport, guys, isn't it? On the world stage. And the thing about the football or the Rugby World Cup is, because it's rugby and it's a lot more physical and, you know, whatever, by the time it's over, it's in about 6 weeks' time. Which is exciting. Speaking of exciting, got a text this morning from a person who will remain unnamed saying, if I can get tickets to UFC Dublin, would you be interested? And I was like, mate, of course I would. Did I buy them when they were on sale? No, I didn't. Because I'm an asshole, you know? I'd almost rather watch it on TV. But if someone's like, here, let's all go, I'll be like, fucking right, let's do it. So that's just some more exciting news anyway. So what I've been up to, I don't know if I mentioned last week about the wee dog, Manny, right? Which we named Manny because, short for Manuel, because he's part Mexican. You gotta pay respects to his Hispanic roots. Jack Wawa. So what happened was I went to Belfast last week. Maureen and her sisters dropped this dog to the vet. The vet then took the dog and they have to keep it for 5 days in case anyone claims the dog back. So they took the dog. And we were like, well, listen, we've had the fucking dog for about 4 or 5 days here. Do you not think we could just hang on to it? Well, she's like, nah, we legally have to take it in case someone comes forward for it. So they took the dog and we had to ring up. We had to ring up and be like, oh, listen, there was a wee dog coming in. We really like it. You know, if no one comes forward for the dog, we'll take the dog. That's basically what happened. We phoned up. Girlfriend Maureen's dad seen the dog. He's like, oh, it's a class wee dog. He goes, you'd be better just to make sure they know you're serious. Just call down to the dog shelter place. Show your face. Because it's like a rehoming centre, but it's also like a kennels and a groomers. You know, if you want to just leave your dog there if you're going on holiday or, you know, they'll look after your dog. So we go down and the woman comes out and we're like, hiya. She goes, how's it going? And our girlfriend Maureen was like, yeah, we left the wee Chihuahua thing into the vets. It's not a Chihuahua. Chihuahuas are annoying. This is like a wee sexy wolf, this guy. Half Chihuahua, half Jack Russell. So she's like, you know. I was like, yeah, I'll just come around just to make sure. Just to let you know that we would love for you to contact us if no one comes forward for that wee dog. And the look on the woman's face, you know, I'm sure she knows you mean well, but if you own the kennels for about fucking 20 years, she just looked at us like, yeah, you rang, I know. Yeah, you rang to say that you wanted the dog. She's She's like, I legally have to keep it here for 5 days. The fuck do you want me to do? I'll fucking ring you once it's being rehomed. So, of course, the time went by, and then she was going to ring Monday, which was yesterday. And I swear to God, at 9:01, she was like, hello, is this Colin? And I was like, yep. And she goes, listen, no one's came for that wee dog. No one's mentioned it. And there's been no reports about it or anything. And she's like, it's gone up for adoption. And obviously, you rang in. So if you want to take it, you can. Come and sign the papers and buy the license and all that shit. So we go down, and she walks out with the wee dog, and wee Manny's going fucking buck mad because he obviously remembered us a wee bit. And we went and bought him like a wee bed, which was in the back of the car. And we let him in the back of the car, and he just immediately jumped in and fucking started wriggling about in the bed and all, just lying sideways like, playa, I own this bitch. So he fucking made himself right at home there. And then we got him back to the house, let him run about. And here's the thing, like, I'm sure he's, I don't know where he came from, whether someone tried to get, wanted rid of him, let him go, someone lost him. But you don't know if no one's reported the dog. You know, if you lost your dog for a day, you'd ring the dog pound and be like, listen, I've lost a fucking whatever, and they're going to, they're going to keep it in mind, and then if one comes in, they ring you, that sort of thing. No one reported it at all. So you're like, did someone just get rid of it, or let him go, or what the fuck? He was a stray because he was clean, like, so you're like, I don't know what the crack is. No collar on him, no trace of a collar even. So you're like, I don't know. What can you do? It needs rehomed. So we'll take it for now. If someone came forward for it, then, you know, of course you'd give him back. Like, but so we get him back to the house. He's running about, having a great time. The garden isn't quite dog-proofed yet, as in, you know, the holes in the gates and everything. He's only a wee dog. He could probably just run right beside the road, like, so he might run out. So we're like, right, if we just let him out for the minute, walk him about, let him take a piss, take a shit, whatever, we'll just walk him about in the lead for a minute till we, like, get some chicken wire up on this gate, for fuck's sake. So I put him on the lead, and I swear to God, I've never seen this before. The dog, like, for a dog that was so well behaved, you know, quite switched on, he's not even that freaked out when you leave him by himself. I put him on the lead, and I swear to God, it was like you were electrocuting him. He just went completely stiff. And I'm like, come on, try and walk. And I actually carried him outside, set him down, and he walked for a bit till he realised the lead was behind him, and he's like, oh God. So I'm like, what the, this cunt's fucking scared of leads. And they're like, oh, if only you could explain to a dog, like, mate, see when me and you get going for wee walks up around the back of these fields and all, you're going to have the best crack ever. But right now, you're scared of the lead. And I'm trying to look up fucking how to walk a dog on a lead. And all the instructional things on the internet are like to stop a dog pulling on the lead. You know, you walk a dog and it's fucking, you're killing itself. That's usually the problem. The problem isn't, fuck, that you put the dog on the lead. That's disgusting. You put the dog on the lead and it won't fucking move. Because it's like shit scared. I don't know. I'm going to have to read into it a bit more. If anyone has any tips, get in touch. Because for the minute, like, you're, and then of course, he's so scared outside that he's walking about and just dying to go back inside. And then you bring him back inside and then he pisses inside. And you're like, mate, you could have pissed anywhere outside. You know? Can you please take a piss outside? And then after that, me trying to walk him. And I was being patient, you know what I mean? I would just stand there with him on the lead to see if he would walk himself. Trying to tease him along with wee treats and shit like that. And then we come back inside and he fucking pisses. And then he was terrified then. He was like, Jesus Christ, you've traumatized me. And he would just sit by the back door and you're like, mate, come on in. We were in the front room, fire and all lit, cozy as shit. I was like, come on in the front. And then eventually I just pick him up. He's shaking, his heart's going like crazy. Had to carry him in, set him down beside me for a minute and just kept him like between my leg and the edge of the seat. Just till he stopped shaking, and then eventually he fell asleep. And then after that he was like fucking lord of the manor. He couldn't fucking move. He was just like, ah. And you're like, yeah, I told you that in here was warm and cozy. So will you fucking relax, please? So And then today, this morning, left them. You see, we're trying to, you want to start as you mean to go on. So rather than get a dog and fucking let it sleep in your bed, and then the next night be like, only joking, you have to sleep outside. We have like a wee back kitchen thing. I don't even know what you would call it. A pantry? Is it a pantry? Or a lar? I don't know what the fuck it is. The bit where your washing machine is outside, and before you go outside. So we just locked him out there for the night in his wee bed. No, he didn't cry, didn't make any noise. Come down in the morning, he's still sleeping. Gets up. And then you're like, yeah, good crack. Let's fucking eat some food and go for a wee walk. And then, of course, same thing. Walks out the door. Realizes he has the lead on. Shits himself. Not literally. I wish he would shit outside. And he's like, oh my God. And just freezes up. And then I got him to walk a wee bit. And then you're just like, what's going on here? Why won't you walk on the lead? Dogs love being walked. Do you need a coat? Am I going to have to buy you a wee coat? So I literally might try. I mean, it's not like I wouldn't let him off, but I'm just like, he's not well enough trained where you can go like, Mommy, and he just comes straight back to you. Because he's probably about 2 or 3 years old at this stage. Not a puppy, like, but I don't know what to fucking do. If anyone knows anything about how to get dogs to walk on a lead, let me know. I'm literally thinking of just getting like the lightest, you know, like a piece of string you would tie a fucking chicken together with? A dead one, not a live, no one ties live chickens. But I'm literally thinking like, I just tie it to like my fucking belt loop on my jeans and have a little thin piece of string. Because he's only a fucking, he's like the weight of a bag of sugar. So you're like, I'll have it attached. He won't notice this big strap. And we just go for a wee walk. I might get him the body harness rather than the one around his neck or something. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, how about that for boring dog banter anyway? And I put a photo on Facebook going like, oh yeah, adopted a wee dog. I didn't know people were going to be so like fucking good for you. If I was like one of those fucking lunatics who just craved attention, which you would think is part of the deal if you're a comedian, but for some people it is. For people like me, it's like I'd like to just do gigs and then walk around the rest of the time and no one know who the fuck I am. You know what I'm saying? But if you were looking some attention, guys, here's what you do. Adopt a dog, because everyone's like, oh, you're a star. You're a good man for adopting a wee dog. Fair play to you. You're a fucking gem. And you're like, oh, really? Because I thought I just basically have someone's dog right now. I just basically paid $62.50 for a dog that's somebody else's. But then again, I don't know. I sort of feel bad about that, but you're like, you can't feel bad if you've given it a good home and that no one came forward for it. So, whatever. Let's move on, talk about more interesting shit. My sister came up the other day, if you remember correctly, when I played a couple of podcasts back, maybe not this one, maybe the one before. My sister rang me drunk and I played the fucking, I played the clip of her talking like, oh my God, babe. This fella she's going out with, he's so drunk, he's vomiting in there, and he only had 2 fucking Mai Tais, and she was giving off about this dude. So she came up to see, this is the first time she's been in the new house, and she came up, and I made her fucking lunch and whatever, and I said to her, oh, it was so funny when you rang me the other night, and she goes, what do you mean? And I was like, do you not remember ringing me when you were drunk? And she goes, oh my God, did I? What did I say? And I was like, sure, listen to my podcast. And honestly, she nearly fucking had a heart attack. I was like, no, listen to the podcast. I record. Maureen filmed me for about 7 minutes on the phone to you. And she was like, oh, stop. Stop it. And I was like, yeah, it's on my podcast. And she was like, you fucking did not. You did not. Oh my God. And I was like, it's nothing bad. Like, it's just really funny. And then I was busy. She wouldn't listen to it. But I basically was sort of giving her a play-by-play
yawn
of all the stuff that was happening. She was like, oh my God, he's in the toilet. He only had 2 fucking Mai Tais. You know what we're like? We can fucking drink and all. And then the guy comes back and he's like, I fucking promise, mate. I promise I'm not going to be sick again. And then I was taking the piss out of him because I was like, yeah, Rachel said you had 2 fucking shandies and you shit yourself or something. And he's like, oh fuck, what is this guy? This guy's a lunatic. Never even met the guy, but I'm willing to humiliate him on a podcast. So it was very funny just to explain to her what was happening, and she was fucking mortified. Which, you know, when is that not funny to humiliate someone? But, oh yeah, this is what happened the other day. We, friend of the show, Connor Begley, who was in the McGraggots video that I put up, the Buy the Blender one. I'd love to do a podcast with him soon enough because we're going to be in the same fucking show, which I've mentioned, Late License. No one knows when it's coming out because I don't know who produced this show. Is it your first job? Seems like it. I'm having a tin of Coke at fucking 11:30 in the morning. It's right. When you get up early, 11:30 may as well be 4 o'clock. You know, I've already eaten fucking sausages. Let's get this. Let's get the Coke in. Who needs teeth or abs? So, so yes, Connor Begley is, you know, he's a very funny guy, and he really should do a lot more comedy stuff, which I'm going to try and make him do once he's done with all these plays. But primarily, he's like a stage actor, does a lot of musicals and stuff like that. So anyway, he's part of this group who do these like live performances at the Cabaret Supper Club thing, which is in AMPM in Belfast. And they were doing like Moulin Rouge, which is kind of like, you know, it's broken up into like 10 scenes. And it's mainly singing, and it's kind of got a wee bit of everything, because I don't know if they're allowed to just rip off Moulin Rouge directly, because they probably get fucking sued. But, yeah, we went to see that. But first of all, we were looking up places to stay, and we're like, yeah, well, we may as well just stay in Belfast for the night, and looking up cheap hotels. Maureen looked up Apple Apartments, which are in the fucking Obel building. Have you ever seen that? It's in Belfast, down beside the Big Fish. I think it might be the tallest building in Belfast. It's quite tall. It's fucking pretty sweet. Pretty sweet apartments, has to be said. So we looked that up, and we're like, that's 80 quid for a fucking two double bed, like, apartment. So we're like, right, we'll just book that. It was going to be me, girlfriend Maureen, her parents. So we're like, right, fuck it, because the their full family was going to see this play thing. So we're like, right, let's do that. Book that, turn up, go in. We're like, hey, we've booked a room. And the guy goes, all right. There was some problem with the card, like the numbers were taken down wrong, the payment didn't go through. So we had the payment was like delayed, so the room was sort of given away. So by the time we paid for the room, the guy goes, oh yeah, you've been upgraded, because there was a wee bit of confusion about the booking. And we're like, all right. So we go to this fucking apartment that was like three double bedrooms. You want to see these fucking apartments? Like, Google them. Apple Apartments, Belfast. Unreal. Fucking American Psycho. I felt like putting some plastic down and killing a prostitute with a fucking chainsaw while looking at my bicep when it was riding. Do you like Phil Collins? It was fucking outrageous. So we get in there. I had the best discovery of my life. I just so happened to be listening to a podcast, and someone was comparing phones, and they were like, oh yeah, the new operating system or whatever on the phone, on iPhones, in the notes, you can just dictate, which is probably ancient, but not when you're fucking tech-tard like me. So you can literally go into notes, press the microphone and be like, hello, I'm a fucking retard. And it'll type that out. It's surprisingly accurate. So I was like, I was a bit worried about going to that thing. So I was like, I have work to do. And I said I would do this, various types of work. But we were going to this fucking apartment. And they were like, oh, do you want to go shopping for it? And I was like, listen, whatever yous are doing, go do it. I'll do work in the apartment. But whatever time we got there, everyone just kind of chilled out anyway. And I was like, right, I have a load of typing up to do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in this fucking room. And instead of typing up like 4 or 5 pages of script ideas, like draft ideas, I just went in the fucking room and just had the talk. Like, these are the videos that I'm writing for local company Fit Fodder, which are coming together like two beautiful curtains. Very funny. So I just went in the next room and I was just like, bloody, bloody, blah. And then I do this with a steak and something, something, bloody, blah. Barry the Blender's fitness tip type things. And I swear to God, I had it talked out in 10 minutes, which would have taken me about between thinking about writing and actually physically typing it and editing it and stuff. Editing it, that's always hard to say. That would have taken me fucking 2 hours. And I just went, blah, 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 da, 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 boom, sent it to myself, copied in the word, fixed it. And I'm literally sitting there going, this is space, isn't it? This is in a movie. Okay, guys? This is movie stuff. While everyone in the room's looking at me going, yeah, you, the things that an iPhone can do, you know what I mean? You want to shoot fucking, I don't know if those new ones have 4K, but you want to shoot like top-notch footage in like, what is it, whatever frames per second, slow-mo, and you don't think that you can just fucking talk to it and it'll write? You fucking fat mess. So anyway, I literally thought that it was like I just discovered the wheel. I was like, oh my God, what else can I write? It honestly changed my, right there, it changed my life. I was like, all this shit that I need to write, that I put off writing because it feels like there's something in the way, some barrier of me actually having to sit down and waste hours. Short of getting a fucking typist, I can now just talk into the bastard and phone and send it to myself. Isn't that unbelievable? I still can't get over that. You know, if I was alive like a certain amount of years ago, do you ever see fucking, what is it, American Hustle? When the mayor buys your guy a fucking microwave, and he goes, yeah, I got you a fucking science oven. It cooks with science. That's me. You don't know how the microwave works? You're just like, I don't know, you put it in the fucking magic box, hit the buttons, and all of a sudden your dinner's warm in the middle and cold on the outside. Change my fucking life. So anyway, we went there and we made our way over to the cabaret supper club where, I tell you what, I would not like to be. I know we paid for the accommodation and the parking and I think part of our dinner, but obviously girlfriend Maureen's parents have themselves and 4 kids who just tag along like, oh, well, daddy's paying, even though it feels like he's paying for a fucking football team's dinner here. But I seen the bill at the end there. I was like, oh, dear. Would not like to be cleaning that mess up, let me tell you. Because everyone thought the tickets were paid for, £30 up front. But in actual fact, they just take a deposit. And then on the night, you pay the rest of the ticket fee. Plus, all these girls, of course, are fucking drinking cocktails and whatever. And I barely had a half empty pint at any stage the whole night. So I was indeed completely fucking steaming. We then come out of there after eating some tremendous food. Good food in there, I must say. This sounds like a free ad. After seeing this play, there's all sorts. Girls come out all fucking da 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 da. Nearly see my quim. Maybe a bit of Venus. Da 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 da. They're dancing about. Some other girl come out. She's dancing with like feathers. With like fucking. She's got wee stickers on her pig tits and she's dancing about. And isn't it weird how like. I'm not talking anyone down, right? These girls were, some of them were quite hot, but like, you know, they're on stage and they're fucking almost naked and you know, you're wearing your wee sparkly knickers and you're dancing about all, you know, the fucking feathers. And then you see the girl in real life with her glasses on and she's in a tracksuit and you're like, whoa, way to fucking pop that bubble, sir. I don't know, whatever. I don't know what I'm trying to say there at all, to be honest with you. Probably in a tracksuit because she might be doing a workout to stay in tremendous neck to dance around like that. I'm not sure. So all that shit was going on. Everyone was singing and fucking dancing and we were obviously laughing because Begley's up there has to kiss this girl and we were all like, fucking you! They're all getting blocked. It looks like the best job ever. Do you want a half hour to play? While drinking Jameson at the back? Abso-fucking-yesly. Yes, I do, mate. And so we went there, and then we all got blocked. And this is when you know everyone's blocked, because we're like, mate, all the people in the play are going around to Union Street to the bar, because there's a gay karaoke thing, and you drink for free if you sing. And of course, we're like, sure, let's go there. And, you know, there's nothing like going to a gay bar with, you know, your fucking girlfriend and her parents on a Thursday night. So we went round there. You know, Begley sings fucking Sweet Child of Mine, kills it. Hitting all the notes. I actually recorded some of that, which felt like you were at Woodstock fucking singing along. I don't know if Guns N' Roses ever played Woodstock, but whatever. So you're singing like fuck, and then you watch the video back and you're like, oh, that looks like someone's just standing on a couch singing while a bunch of dickheads stand around also trying to sing, but incredibly blocked. And then drank, Jager bombs. Hey, can I get you 3 Jager bombs? We have no Jager bombs left. Do you want some Fireball? Yes. I don't know what that is, but yes. And then you taste it and you go, oh, is that made by fucking Yankee Candles? Because that just tastes like cinnamon and fucking petrol. Not good. It's not good. As Rodney would say. What about that burp? I should edit them out, but fuck it. So then we got completely blocked. And after me eating fucking, you know, a confit of duck leg or something, which was nice for a starter, and then pork two ways, which I'm not going to shit on your food, guys, at AMPM, but it was pork one way, cut into two. How about that? They had a piece of fucking pork belly, which was too big. Like, pork belly's nice, but you don't need to eat a bit of it that's like the size of a fucking... What sort of size we're dealing with here? Kind of like two packets of figs put side by side, sitting on top of another two packets of figs. That's what we're talking. A big chunk of it. Well cooked, but then another wee small square of it to the side. And you're like, well, why would you cut this little square off and put it to the side? Doesn't seem normal. Sitting on a bed of mashed up black pudding. It was fucking delish. So we had that. I would say that was probably about 8 o'clock. Then you drink, straight through to the early hours. And then guess what, guys? It's kebab time! So of course I bought fucking chicken pakora on chips after eating, being out from a fucking dinner and drinking 1,000 pints. Absolutely disgraceful. Begley managed to sneak back into the fucking hotel, or the fancy apartment, because there was three beds in. I don't know why we thought people would be strict about it, like, but he came back and we just fucking crashed out. I never felt as rough in my entire life, to be fair. Mix a hangover with a sort of slight fear of heights as you're walking around this apartment going, oh, we're very high up. Oh. And you're taking a shit and you're going, imagine how far this shit falls when I flush this toilet. It falls about 100 feet before it even hits anything else. Unbelievable times. Unbelievable times. And then the next day, when you just, all you want to do is fucking go home. We, of course, had to walk around St. George's Market, which I've never been in. And to be honest, for good reason. Unless I'm looking fucking half a monkfish, there's no need for me to be walking around St. George's Market. It's the Belfast Institute. Whatever. You know, is there fucking quotas have to be met in there? Like, can you just walk in and go, oh, I'm going to sell fucking socks. No worries. Go over there, buy socks. You know, shout out to the guy selling some sort of, in quotes, artifacts, which essentially looked like he had a table covered in toupees. You know, well, how many sales does he make? You know, sure enough, he's probably fucking retired. I've just realised my phone's been near this recorder the whole time, so it's probably going... You know, this guy's selling fucking coins. People are selling like, yeah, do you want to buy... I'm making a fish curry here on a... No, I like food, but it's like, how good, you know, how long am I really going to get to not have diarrhea if I eat that? Some of the longest stains, however, and the thing. So basically what happened was we go to that. We then go to Robinson Cleaver's, which I'd never been in before. Very nice. Go upstairs. This is basically a day of being a fancy bitch. That's what I was doing. Being a fancy gay gentleman. I was essentially Stephen Fry for a night. Hello, darling. Going to see a musical? Yes, I am, Moulin Rouge. Bring me the confit of duck. I'm going to eat like a fucking... I was eating like fucking David Cameron at one of them eating fucking dinners. Not eating, eating that school he went to, where they're all like, what do you want? Peacock? No sweat. Probably fuck a peacock. Yes, bring me the confit of duck and the pork two ways, and I shall sip this meat deep into the night. Before attending some sort of homosexual
karaoke. Sing along to Christina Aguilera. Let's get dirty. Sing along and then you'll have danced away the duck confit and then you can, of course, eat a kebab. Sample taste from around the world. Pakora avec chips. I believe that's French for with. And then you wake up the next day and shit. Do a 1,000-foot shit into the lagoon. Laughing at all the peasants. And then you go to the market where the food is too dirty. But you shall reside to Robinson Cleaver for a panini. And a pineapple juice.
I literally got a pineapple juice in there. I was like, God, what would you like? By the way, great service in there. That's one thing I'll shit in that supper club. They have 40 staff who none of them know what they're doing. Apart from the cocktail guy who's like making ridiculous cocktails very loudly over a play. You're like, mate, please be aware that you're doing that. Don't be making a cappuccino in the middle of a fucking scene here. Ah, fuck off with your phone. You know, it's fucking crushing ice. And you're like, mate, you cannot see people. There's a fucking play going on here, you lunatic. There was a great bit though where this girl went to the toilet. You'd see them, this couple at the front, two weirdos. Girl goes to the toilet, man is like jaw on the floor because some girl's dancing around with her hoop out. Girl comes back from the toilet, sees that boy she's with is like basically got a boner in the front row because this girl's dancing about, and she leaves. She's like, I can't sit there while you fucking stare at these wee girls. And you're like, well, first of all, you're at a cabaret club, so I don't know what the fuck you expected. But whatever. What the fuck is I talking about? All right, so we went to the Robinson Cleaver thing, and then we were like, now that I've eaten confit of duck, pork two ways, chicken pakora avec chips, a panini with curried potato salad, I must now go to a Tesco's fucking food market.
So in St. George's Square, is that what that's called? Custom House Square. Tesco's were doing like this taste festival or something, which you go into and it's essentially all the local businesses that Tesco's work with doing like little taste things where it's like, yes, over here is such and such mushrooms. Tell you what, if you're from Tato, it's easy to push Tato fucking crisps. You know, do you want a packet of crisps? Yes, I do. I'm from Denny's. Here, do you want a fucking sausage? Wee cocktail sausage? I would love one. Hey, we're from Belfast Ale. Do you want a fucking half a free pint of beer? I'd love that. You get round to the mushroom guy and he's like, do you want to eat a fucking raw mushroom, do you? Sample the mushrooms, good quality. Everyone's like, nah, not so much. There's no snacky way to eat a mushroom. Maybe like a battered mushroom, but you have to eat it sort of like as just right when it's battered. So fair play to them boys. There was live cooking demonstrations and all. I still would have taken sleeping into three over all of this business. But instead you're like, no, let's walk around sweating the fucking Jaeger bombs out that we had last night. And the duck confit. So that was basically my week. And then of course, did I tell you we went and collected the dog? This is all a roundabout story to say basically the woman phoned at about 9:01. I'd said this already, didn't I? And then we went and collected the fucking dog. He went crazy. We go in, he gets chipped, they fucking shoot him in the back with a like matrix thing in the back of the neck. You know, the matrix when he like lies in that thing and it's shunk in the back of his head. That's what chipping a dog's like. We should have called him Neo. That would have been a great name. But Manny is, let's face it, the best name you've ever heard. So we do that. So pay fucking 50 quid. I feel like the government should pay for that, you know? I feel like the government should be like, listen, you're doing everyone a favour by taking this dog. We'll take care of the fucking kennels. Know what I'm saying? Well, that's maybe not their responsibility. You can get them like neutered or whatever for free. They basically give you like a wee token to have that done. So maybe that's what the government bit pays for. You get the dog, we'll take care of it not reproducing ever again.
Which might be a bad thing, this cunt, because as soon as we brought him in with his new bed, he had it bent over and he was like fucking humping the shit out of it. Maybe they make them too furry, do they? The dogs feel that and be like, that feels like fucking furry bit of dog piss. Take that bed. Lay a pipe into it. Alright, that's too much calm talking about dogs fucking. But while we were in there signing the paperwork, there was another couple. And as we came in, there's like a sort of, almost like a waiting area where the dogs have come out of the kennels. You call it like a dog lobby. They're like, you've taken you out of the hotel room. You can wait in the lobby here till your new owners come. So there was this beautiful fucking like husky that was brown. You know, it's the brown huskies, like the pink noses almost. Looked like a ghost. It was lovely. And it was waiting there and we were like, oh, dog's lovely. So we go in and this other couple come in and they were sitting there and they're like, oh, he's the lovely wee dog and all. You taking him home? We told the full story. Like, yeah, we found him and give him in. No one came forward. So we're going to rehome him. And they're like, ah, oh, brilliant. No. So then they were sort of talking with the woman doing their paperwork. And they're like, so can you let the huskies off the lead and all in the garden? And she was like, well, you can. She goes, huskies are notorious for, like, most people who have a husky, you have to walk them on a lead or they just fucking, you let them off, they just run away, basically. You just can't get them back. They just run and run and run. She said, you can't do, you have to be careful because they knew someone had two huskies and they let them off and the two huskies just ran. And she goes, they will go for livestock now. And you obviously go after sheep and then fucking farmers shoot them, which they're perfectly in their rights to do, apparently. Within their rights to do. So you could just see this woman, like, she obviously hadn't done her fucking research on huskies, and you could always see on her face, like, oh, I thought it was just a beautiful big dog. And you're like, listen, if a husky has come into a fucking rehoming centre and no one's taken it, it's probably because it's a nightmare. Because if you're going to take a husky, you want to take the one that's fucking being rehomed. You don't want to buy one, like a fucking $2,000 one that's a puppy. I don't know how much they are, but they're dear as shit. So she's just like, can you let it off the lead? And the woman's like, I wouldn't let it off the lead. Okay. Can they be trained? Yeah, they can be trained and all. They will walk around, but you just can't let them off. And the more information that the dog lady was giving this couple, you could see the woman's face drop. Like, I thought it was going to be very well behaved. And I'm sitting here now with this fucker going, well, you know what? I didn't know he was going to not walk on a lead. I'm sure we'll fucking coax him out of it with biscuits and shit, but typical Mexican, eh? Typical Mexican dog just wants to lie down and sleep all day. Isn't that terrible? I just did a Jeremy Clarkson joke. Let's move on. Let's do some questions, guys, before someone phones in and complains about nothing. Let's do some... Oh, Belly Laughs have done a tweet about the comedy festival that kicks off tomorrow at Lavery's. Chris Kent headlining. If you can make it to any Lavery's, go to this one because this cunt is fucking hilarious and we're flying him over, so it'd be great to see some peeps at it. First question, please, please talk about Piggate from Ryan. So some woman wrote a book about fucking David Cameron. I don't know what they were trying to do, like make him look like a dick, but apparently back in his student days when he was all pissed up and all, he put his dick in a pig's mouth. I didn't read into it. Was it like a foot, like a just a pig that had just died, or was it like at a hog roast where it was being cooked and he's, I guess it's going to be funny if I put my dick in his mouth. I mean, just when you think David Cameron's no crack at all, you're like, ha ha, my man Cameron's hilarious, putting his dick in a dead pig's mouth. What's right? So, it's not like he fucks live pigs and it's like his fetish. He's probably... Tell me you wouldn't have a mate who was pissed up and did something funny at one stage, you know? If it was like a, if it was one of those hog roasts where the full pig was lying there and it was nowadays where he had a fucking Snapchat, he'd be like, here, take his phone, I'm gonna put my balls in this thing's mouth and take a photo real quick. Haha, hilarious. You can't get fucking picked up on things you did as a student. Some of the fucking stupid shit you do when you're a student would probably put you in jail nowadays. And then, but then, even if who was it, like Holly Willow, or no, it wasn't even, it was them two newsreaders basically picked the girl apart for writing that in the book. you know, and if them two are fucking having a go at you, you know, you're obviously don't have a lot of credibility as a fucking writer slash journalist. This isn't Watergate. Watch the moment author of Piggate book gets telling off for humiliating David Cameron. I mean, you could do anything. It's like, oh, do you know, it's all that, like, do you believe that someone when they were 18 smoked weed at uni? Yes! Are you telling me a black guy like fucking Obama isn't gonna have smoked weed at some point when he was in uni? Are you fucking joking me? He probably still does. How about that? How about Nick Diaz, the fighter, getting fucking banned for 5 years for smoking weed? That's a bit heavy-handed. Let me just shut down someone's career for taking essentially medical marijuana, because everyone knows he has fucking anxiety problems. Yet he's one of the most entertaining fighters to watch. You think fucking McGregor's doing something new by being a slobber? Incorrect. You got the likes of Nick Diaz walking around, fucking walking Anderson Silva down, calling him a bitch. What you gonna do, bitch? Lying on the ground and all? He's a fucking animal. And you just go, right, well, your career's over because you smoked weed a bit. Not a performance enhancing drug or anything like that. You know, it's basically just a mood enhancer. It just makes you feel better. How about that? It's pretty gross. It's pretty gross considering the shit that gets forgiven in other types of sports. Did that guy not get done for fucking rape and then the next minute he's still playing football or some shit? You know, your man fucking clubs his wife in a lift. And, you know, he's fucking up for sale, back playing. In fact, fighting, it seems like... What the fuck is that? Do you know what? See that old Nokia Lumia thing? It hasn't been charged in about a week and a half and it's still on. So there you go, Steve Jobs, get your fucking finger out. When Nokia's beating you on battery, you fucking lunatic. I haven't been using it, to be fair, it's just been sitting there, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah, I think that Nick Diaz thing was a bit strong. Makes me upset. It'll probably get overthrown, I hope, because it's full ridiculous. Right, sorry, I fucking went off on one there on some sort of ADD tangent. Owen, what was your second experience of smoking weed like? I don't know. It's not for me, to be honest with you. Some people just react differently to stuff. And I didn't react bad, but I'm just like, this is not my thing, you know? I'm far too aggressive. I like just getting very drunk very quickly, going to sleep. That's what I like doing. I like drinking during the day, but I can't do it because it's like, how can you drink all fucking day when you can drink like I can? It just costs £1,000. Second experience smoking weed. I don't know. I think it was once ever where I did it and it was like, it was a movie where it was like, and the rest of the times it was just, I mean, there's probably your mistake there. You smoke it when you're already drunk and you're like, guys, I need to go to bed immediately. Sean Morrison. Would you do Celebrity Big Brother if asked? I reckon you would get thrown out for saying something non-PC. Really? Because Maureen watches it and there was a guy called an elderly woman a fucking cunt right to her face and no one said anything about that. Because he was gay. Now, am I slagging gay people? No. However, what if that, you know... You got a gay guy who's a bit fucking, oh my god, Janice, like slobbering at your woman, Janice Dickinson, is her name? Who may or may not be a fuckwit, but you can't sort of turn around to a woman who's like 60 something and be like, you're a fucking shame to your family and you're a stupid fucking cunt. You can get away with that because you're like a fucking bitchy gay guy. You could imagine you were like a straight guy going, you fucking stupid cunt. You're a fucking shit parent. You'd be in jail for like, I don't know, hate speech. Would I do it? No, because I'm not a celebrity. And I just wouldn't do it because you're the guy from that thing. You know what I mean? If you're going to be known for something, have it be known for something that you do yourself, creatively or whatever, rather than just some cunt who was on a thing one time. And I'd probably make a dick of myself. And it's not... It's the thing I would say to myself off camera that would probably get me in trouble. I mean, I'm saying all this out loud. I know for a fact I'd win everyone over and probably win it because I'm such a nice fucking guy. Peter, do you think Gary Henderson would ever be good at rugby? Probably, but in a real rapey way. Just let me play second row and I'll grab two sets of nuts. Mm! Scrum's over. Not for me, it's not. How long does it take for a necessary readjustment to become an inappropriate fondling? I take it, this is from Gaffer Cross. So if your balls are uncomfortable, how can you quickly just jingle it back into shape without it become inappropriate fondling? I think the trick is not to actually grab the dick or balls. The trick is to like make it look like you're just kind of grabbing, you know, just off center of your dick and balls, like your boxers, and you're sort of just going and you let it fall down into place. Don't be like, you know, no one grabs their actual dick and is like, just let me just work that down for a wee set. We're moving into the moving into half a minute now doing this. You know, it's not even inappropriate fondling. It's people looking at you going, this cunt needs to go to a doctor for sure. Dylan McCrudden, thanks for answering my question last week. I'm going through the same situation and needed some advice. I can't even remember what your question was last week, to be honest. Do you like Jews? I suppose. I mean, that's one thing about Northern Ireland. I don't know if the Jewish population is that big. If it exists at all. I've never met a Jewish person, to be honest. Too obvious to talk about David Cameron skull fucking a dead pig. I have to say, people are jumping on stuff like this because they don't like him. You know, and they're like, this is a disgrace. If your mate was like, look at this photo of me at a fucking hog roast and a fucking dick in a pig's mouth, you'd laugh your head off. It's like the Dapper Laughs thing when he did that rape joke. You know, I've made 1,000 rape jokes. Everyone's made rape jokes. You just have to make sure that your target of the joke is appropriate. But like, just because the Dapper Laughs guy, no one liked him to start with. When they said that, when he said something like that, everyone jumped on it as an excuse to get rid of him, you know? Chris McCulloch, who said, too late again for questions, stupid time zones. I think he's in Australia or something. I said, no, you're not. Go ahead. Sweet. What age are you too old to be on a skateboard? I don't think there really is an age, but if you're on it past about 20, you better be good. You can't be like 28, slightly overweight, trying to fucking kickflip over a tin of Coke. You know what I mean? You better be fucking very good if you're carrying around a skateboard at that age. Carry a proper skateboard, don't carry one of those little mini ones. What are you, a fucking child? Assholes, those ones. Dude, I'm going to wear a Thrasher shirt, even though I'm not even sure that it is a magazine. I just bought this in Urban Outfitters, and now I'm going to get on this tiny fucking skateboard that I bought in Toys R Us and just float about like I'm some sort of cool dude. Get a real skateboard. You know, be good on it. Don't take it up when you're like 21. Anyway, is that all the Twitter questions? Great! Dylan McCrudden, I'm confused as to what you asked me last week, so fuck it. Alright, let's rattle through this. Piggate has to be mentioned. Yeah, it's been mentioned. I have to say, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. I didn't give a shit that they shot that fucking lion. Don't care. ISIS are coming into the country, apparently. Don't care, really, to be honest with you. You know, you can send a fucking few t-shirts to Calais, but at the end of the day, is it out of your fucking grasp? Probably. Are lollipop men still a thing? Nathan Concilia? What the fuck is with this phone? I swear to God, zombie phone? Are there lollipop? Well, I don't know. I haven't been in primary school in quite some time, Nathan. I'm sure they are, yeah. I mean, you have to have some for paedophiles to do. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible? Because the one at my primary school was a woman for years. Not saying they can't get women pedos, but, you know, stats are stats. Yeah, I'm sure they are, yeah. It's just how many primary schools are you hanging about outside at like 2:30 when they get out? Not many, Nathan. And I hope not many. Dylan O'Neill, will you attend his Belfast gig with a carton of eggs? Dapper Laughs. Dapper Laughs is playing The Limelight on like the 20th of October or something. The Resurrection, and he's got his dick up there like he's got a boner. No. I can't imagine why I would. I can't imagine why anyone would. Like, I mean, is it straight stuff? What's he even doing? I don't care. Nah. I mean, I honestly feel like organising a gig on the same day somewhere else, being like, you know, call it Proper Laughs. And duplicate the fucking poster.
Bro, die already.
Nah, not for me. Aaron Willoughby, favourite band? Probably Queens of the Stone Age or White Stripes are probably my two all-time favourites, I would have to say. Matthew Foster, do you like melted cheese on your steak sandwich? Can't beat it with a bit of fried onion too. Well, I mean, yeah, of course you do. I don't eat
steak sandwiches that often to be like,
do you know what? I can't have it without cheese. Yeah, fucking right, absolutely. But I mean, you're gonna have to buy shit steak to make fucking steak sandwiches. You're not putting like a good, you know, a good steak in it. I don't know, guys. Barry Wright, how has becoming a dog daddy changed your life? I've had dogs before, mate. Don't worry about it. I wish I knew more about dogs. That's the only thing. Like, there's been dogs around for years, but I wish I was like a real dog person where you're like, oh, I'll snap this cunt out of it in 2 days. I'll be walking on a lead, pissing outside and everything. But I like dogs, but I'm just not that great at training them or whatever. Training them? Who trains dogs? Michael Brennan, when you write a bit, do you practice it religiously, knowing it word for word, or would you go and wing it on stage, having just a fair idea of what you want to talk about? Yeah, I do that. I do this, the latter, because it depends what your style is. If you're like a real joke teller and your jokes depended a lot on word for word delivery and timing, then you can do that. Whereas my stand-up is kind of like, you kind of want it. I remember Patton Oswalt saying something like, you wanted himself to be, or stand-up to be like, you know, they were like, do you have any rituals or do you have any warm-ups or whatever? And he goes, no, I just like to, be almost like mid-conversation, you know, at the side of the stage with somebody. And then they call your name and you just go on. He goes, I don't like the difference to be that much. I don't like the difference, me just being relaxed, talking to my friends. I don't want it to change when I go on stage. I just want it to be conversational and free-flowing. Sort of like that. I sort of agree with that. But then sometimes you do get a really hyped, bigger crowd. And you're like, I need to fucking turn this up a notch here. But yeah, just usually,
I mean, sometimes if something requires a bit of breaking down, I'll just write it out in like very loosely in like two or three sections. Like, this is the start of the joke, this is the middle and the end. But then I usually just throw that in the bin. So say I was writing something about Piggate, I'd probably go, Piggate, you know, what do I find funny about it? And I would say, like, you know, I'd probably play on the fact that, like, oh, everyone thought David Cameron was boring, but, you know, it turns out he's fucking great crack. You know, I wish I had a friend who was willing to stay. You know, just joke around that, and you'd write, that was terrible, terrible fucking version of that. I mean, my main worry at that point would be, well, can you still eat the pig? That would be my main worry. I'd be like, haha, yeah, the photo's funny, but is the meat contaminated? Because we all like a laugh, but we all love bacon, so don't be fucking with the pig. You know, you would try and write some sort of joke like that. You try and squeeze that joke in there, but, you know, I would never write it out like a script, because you forget that. So you're better just going, you know, here's where I start, here's the middle, here's the end, and I'll just go up and do it. And usually the energy of the crowd or your nervousness will make it funny. Sometimes you think something's going to be killer and it's not. You know, no doubt every fucking cunt in the world is going to have a Piggate joke. I just don't think there's that much to it. I mean, it's probably some woman talking shit. You know, if someone said to me, like, oh, I was at uni with Colin and I've seen him do something fucking horrendous. And you're like, well, yeah, it was fucking years ago. Who gives a fuck? Everyone's going nuts anyway. I'm pretty sure me and him friend intercepted a rape one night. Whatever. You know, stand there outside having a smoke because we're working late and some dude's dragging some girl back with her fucking feet scraping. Now, jump forward 20 years if that guy's running for fucking president or something. You could be like, well, do you know what? I've seen that guy basically drag some girl back to her flat one time. And everyone will be like, oh, he's a raper. And you're like, well, not quite. You might have been put off, but sure, whatever. Creepy. Conal Devlin. Final question. So, Michael Brannan, basically, if you're like me, which in brackets, lazy, you just fucking write a word on a piece. Like, my set list. Did I have a set list somewhere? Where's my book? So, if I read the last set list that I wrote, these are all my. So, I've got like one, two, let's say, there's probably about 40 or 50 points here, right? And I kind of have a bit on all of them. So, I do a bit about breaking my fingers doing jiu-jitsu, Buckfast, e-cigs, getting fit. There's different stories like no salad, 12 slices, oversharing with taxi drivers, living in the country, killed by a panther, country bars, hipster bars, going to mass. Like, there's just different things. It goes right down. ISIS, granny AIDS, airport lube, vagina facial. Social media, watching The Notebook, fucking Johnny Vegas, fucking adopting a fish, Mickey shit fingers. Like, there's just little My Little Pony slippers. I definitely need to write a bit about that. I don't know what it's gonna be yet, but there's something funny in the fact that one day when I was at like nursery school, I spilt water all over my shoes and they're like, right, we're going to have to dry your shoes before your mum comes later. So they put on a radiator and the socks and the radiator, and in the meantime made me wear a pair of My Little Pony slippers, and I was so embarrassed I went down outside in the nursery and hid in like the little play park tunnel. And there has to be something in there about something like traumatizing moments when you're a kid, which you somehow grow out of, you know what I mean? If I had a pair of fucking My Little Pony slippers on now, I'd be like, lads, Snapchat that shit. By the way, guys, I got Snapchat, and we're on our third attempt. I don't really know what to do with it yet, but I believe it's just Colin Geddes. I don't know if you want to follow. I don't even know how it works. Do you follow people? I'm not even sure if I've done any Snapchats yet. But anyway. Final question, Colin Devlin. When will the podcast t-shirts be available? As soon as I get my finger out of my fucking shitter and make one. I mean, I really should get on that, seeing that
the reason I changed the name of the podcast was so that I could then do merchandise for it, and you wouldn't have to walk around with a fucking t-shirt on that said "The Colin Geddes Show." You know, it would just say "General Banter," looked like a cool logo, and no one would quite know what it was unless they'd heard it. And I go, "What's General Banter?" And you go, "It's a podcast by some fucking bald cunt who basically talked about adopting a dog for an hour and a half, you know, and pretended he was Stephen Fry for a night, eating duck confit and fucking chicken pakora. Chicken pakora." Is there anything worse than someone who, like, over, you know, like, just talking normal, like, "Yeah, we made a delicious pakora, and, you know, well, it's really nice to tell you what I did, Louise. I just basically got some ricotta cheese and put it in." Do you know what I mean? "Oh, there's nothing really to eat. Do you want me to just do some passata and tagliatelle?" "What's fucking spaghetti, you dumb fuck?" Right. I'll get on that, Colin, because you've embarrassed me now that I haven't worked hard enough to do that. Let's move on. Right, gigs as usual. 23rd, which is tomorrow night, Lavery's Comedy Club. We have Chris Kent headlining. Do not miss this cunt because he's fucking hilarious, I promise you. £6, get yourselves down. Doors open at 9. The bookstore, the book reserve, which I'm doing at the weekend, Saturday night, if you can't make a midweek gig. It's going to be £12 for the ticket. You can phone up and reserve it or pick it up from the book reserve, Lisburn Road. £12, bring your own booze. So if you can drink 3 bottles of wine for a tenner and the ticket, there's a night out blocked, you know, for fucking £22 plus your taxi. And then if you're in Oma, I'm going to be doing a spot at Daly's Comedy Club, 2nd of October, and still awaiting a date for a Derry gig, so keep your fucking ears peeled, guys. Cheers for listening. Colin, I'm going to get on that fucking podcast t-shirt, and I'm going to go in the next room here and see if this fucking wee Mexican dog has shit anywhere. Because we're trying to get him broke into that now, you know what I mean? Just because you're at home doesn't mean the dog has to be around you all day. You know, you just fucking, just lock him up for an hour. Be like, "Listen, mate, you go in there and chill out in your fucking beautiful bed," which, to be honest, I would sleep in. "And then I'll come back and get you in an hour. Just, you know, just let you know that sometimes you'll be left there, sometimes you'll be out. Deal with it. You know, play some mariachi music. Bring you a fucking burrito. Because he's half Hispanic." Anyway, I think we got through a full podcast there without having to fucking stop and start again, which is an absolute miracle, to be honest with you. So I'm going to stop it, and I'll speak to you soon. And take care of yourselves, guys. ColinGeddes.com for all your t-shirt needs also. Take it easy. See you later.